Turn your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Seedmasters Nova Series 2. No clever message, just simple, no-nonsense precision. Learn more about the features at seedmaster.ca. Today we take a look at grain markets this week. Both wheat and canola are on the rise. We take a look at seeding of fall rye and winter wheat and livestock feed and water supplies for winter. It comes from yesterday's final crop report for the year from the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. Real Agriculture looks at fertilizer tariffs. We have a feature on a new product enabling farmers to apply anhydrous ammonia in the fall with little concern for loss before spring seeding. And we have a market outlook with specific details on demand for Canadian grains. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Grain markets continued an upward price trend this week. Commodity futures advisor with PI Financial in Regina, Adam Pacallo, says spring wheat was up 15 cents a bushel and canola gained $15 a metric ton.
Well, Jim, starting off on the canola side of the market, we definitely did see the futures rally again here this week, increasing about $15 a ton on the January futures. So the November contract is going to expire soon, and the January will be the one now quoted. So that's the one that I've been, again, more, I would say, talking with clients about. And then on the Minneapolis wheat side, again, another quite strong week when it comes to wheat. The week ended up so far on the day about 15 cents a bushel on the December contract, and we has backed off in the last couple days from the highs of the week. However, as I've mentioned, both canola and wheat, the trend is still quite positive here.
What are the factors pushing up the wheat and the canola markets?
Well, when it comes, traders really are seeing kind of the news of the pandemic spreading rapidly as a reason for some countries actually hoarding wheat. So that could be kind of one factor on that side. There is dry weather in the U.S. and the Black Sea region also hurting crops. Nations might maybe seem to be buying before kind of prices rise further here. So that's kind of one thing. And as well, too, the funds, again, are definitely on the long side of the market here. And that's when managed money starts to buy commodities, we start to see these rallies happen. So I would say some fundamentals are positive. The technicals now are. So that's, I've been kind of going over with clients strategies to be maybe kind of replacing some wheat they've sold and, you know, when we should maybe be protecting for next year's crop.
So any idea how long this rally will last?
That's the million-dollar question, Jim. Nobody has that crystal ball, and that's where the best thing I can kind of tell clients right now is that there is no sign of a peak. The markets remain positive here when it comes to kind of the canola side of the market. I've been watching for signals on the soy complex, beans, the oil and meal for some type of indication they might be declining. However, that's not the case. So all factors are quite positive for canola. I would say except for maybe the Canadian dollar this week here, the Canadian dollar did kind of increase a little bit here, but overall it seems that the currency side hasn't been a huge factor.
So the market outlook next week and beyond?
Well, next week we'll see if canola does keep pushing to kind of new contract highs. There might be some type of consolidation here before it does leg higher. But again, there's a lot of different factors to be watching, and that's what I try and keep clients aware of.
Adam Pacallo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial in Regina.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
It's an open session for all Saskatchewan cattle producers to discuss issues with the board and staff. The Ministry of Agriculture says the area seeded to winter wheat and fall rye is below normal in most areas. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Sarah Tetland says farmers are concerned about improper germination due to the very dry conditions.
So overall, throughout the province, due to those dry conditions, the acres seeded to winter wheat and fall rye is below average. There was adequate time for seeding this fall with how well harvest went. But farmers were concerned with those dry conditions that the crops won't actually germinate and establish well enough for winter. So overall, acres for those winter cereals are down, aside from some areas where they did receive adequate moisture, particularly in the northern regions. They are reporting more kind of around that average amount of acres seeded to those winter cereals.
Any idea how much it's down?
I'm not for sure on number-wise. That was kind of a comment that a lot of our reporters gave, that just because it was quite dry, they haven't been seeing as much, and in some cases haven't really been seeing any acres in their specific area. But I don't have numbers for acres for you.
How about hay yields? How did they do this year?
So hay yields have been fairly average this year, but again, similar to crop yields, it really did depend on those moisture conditions received throughout the summer. So it has been quite dry, so particularly parts of the southern regions have noted below average hay yields. But when we look at the numbers for hay yields on dry land, they have been reported as 1.2 tons per acre for alfalfa, 1.1 tons per acre for alfalfa brome and for wild hay, 1 ton per acre for other tame hay, and 1.9 tons per acre for green feed. And then when we look at the irrigated land hay yields, they're being estimated as 2.1 tons per acre for alfalfa, 2.3 tons per acre for alfalfa brome, 2 tons per acre for wild hay, and 4.2 tons per acre for green feed.
Tell me a little bit about the winter feed supplies. How do they look?
So overall, livestock farmers are saying that they think they have adequate feed supplies for this winter, but similarly to kind of how the yields have been coming off, farmers in those drier areas have noted reduced hay production and straw production. So there is expected to be kind of inadequate feed supplies in those areas, and there may be some shortages in those areas. So that is more so in parts of the southern and central regions of the province.
Sarah Tetland compiles the crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
Enjoy small town security with upscale luxury at Willow Height Estates in Kipling. This modern adult living complex is designed for anyone wanting to make this their full-time home while offering you the freedom to be away for a few days, weeks, or even months. You owe it to yourself to take a video tour at willowheightestates.ca and see why this refreshing, hassle-free lifestyle is right for you. Willow Height Estates. Live well. Stay active.
Today.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update brought to you by the Canola School. Get canola agronomic information when you need it on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Our library of timely agronomic information is free and available at CanolaSchool.com. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio, and I'm joined right now by Jake Niederer. He is the Director of Sales and Marketing at ADM. But we've potentially got an issue with some fertilizer tariffs that are creating a bit of confusion, and possibly it's going to impact the way that commerce is done from a fertilizer perspective. What exactly is going on here, Jake?
Right. So back in June of this year, Mosaic approached the Department of Commerce and the International Trade Commission and requested that they look into dumping or into duties against two countries of origin, Russia and Morocco, which primarily affects a lot of the import fertilizer that's been coming into North America. They published their petition. It's a matter of public record. They laid out some claims as to why they feel those companies have been subsidized by their local governments to bring product into the U.S., and it's basically created an unfair level of competition for the U.S. Now, they're a U.S. producer. These are U.S. laws, and so we've got to ask ourselves, why is that affecting Canada, and what effect does that have on the Canadian farmers? So it's important to know that most of the North American production is still supplied by North American producers, and that comes primarily out of Central Florida and the East Coast. And if you're blocking off imports to come in and compete in the local U.S. market, you're putting a duty, a potential duty, on those products, that's going to drive the price up. And that price increase in the U.S. will also translate to a price increase in Canada, because we're pulling from the same origin source to get the product. Now, it doesn't restrict Russia and Morocco from bringing product into Canada, but it does make it difficult to do it through the U.S. And so now we have to look at taking those tons from Morocco and Russia to the East Coast, West Coast. And unfortunately, those logistics and value chains are a lot more expensive because of the amount of rail miles that they would transport on to get into the interior prairie markets. And so what's normally been supplying the Manitoba, Saskatchewan market, and even a little bit Alberta, has been that river system in the U.S., bringing those barges up the river cheaply, then trucking either into southern Manitoba or railing on the CN, the CP, into the central prairies there. That value chain's under threat, right? It's hard to figure out what will be the cost as an importer, what will be the cost to bring those products in and then supply that market. So that's why prices took off so much during the months of June to now. We know that there's some retail pricing in the Canadian market that's lagging a little bit, but generally prices have increased well over $100 a ton on phosphates. And if you're not seeing that in your local market, you really ought to think about getting it bought. And if you are seeing it, it's a reality, and there's not a lot you can do about it other than wait. And you can wait all the way to spring. But the problem is the way these duties work is the government will make a preliminary decision November 23rd, I believe, is the date when they make their decision. And they'll issue a preliminary assessment of what they think a potential future tax would be on products brought in from those two countries. Once that's determined preliminarily, we'll have an idea what's the price spread, how do trade flows start changing, and then how do we supply that Canadian marketplace. The problem is waiting till November, December to start making moves on vessels translates to barges and vessels arriving into the country much later than normal. And so the value chain is going to be under pressure. We also have international markets that have been very healthy too. So while the U.S. and Canada have increased well over $100 a ton, the rest of the world's increased about $70 a ton in prices. So overall, big move in the phosphate market, primarily because supply has been tight and demand's been very healthy. Then you have this duty piece too.
Well, what's the justification for it? Is it basically to make U.S. producers more competitive domestically in North America, or is it to try to punish Russia, like in some sort of sanction manner? Like, what's the why of this?
Why they've done it? The argument that Mosaic laid out was that the subsidies given by the Russian government, by the Moroccan government, to these producers directly have given them an unfair cost advantage, therefore threatening their position here in North America.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agro weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. The 620 CKRM farm weather for today, partly cloudy sky with 30% chance of flurries. Wind northwest 20. The high today, minus 5. Fog patches developing after midnight. The low, minus 14. Wind chill minus 13 tonight and minus 20 overnight. Saturday, mainly cloudy. Fog patches dissipating in the morning. Wind north 20. The high tomorrow, minus 6. The low, minus 12. Sunday, cloudy sky and a high, minus 7. Clearing in the evening and a low, minus 15. Monday, partly cloudy. The high, minus 2. 40% chance of evening flurries. The low, minus 5. Tuesday, cloudy. The high, 6 degrees. The low, minus 2. Wednesday, partly cloudy, the high 3, the low minus 4. Thursday, partly cloudy, the high plus 4. Normal high for this date, 8 degrees, the normal low minus 5. The sun rose at 7:35 this morning. It sets at 5:51 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot up north, Island Falls, again for the second day at minus 3. The cold spot in the southwest corner, again, minus 14, it's Val Marie. Yesterday it was Cypress Hills. Estevan is minus 7. Saskatoon minus 4. Swift Current minus 7. Weyburn minus 6. Yorkton is minus 5. Regina cloudy and minus 4. That's 25 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the north-northwest at 18. Humidity is 48%. The barometer 103.4. It's dropping. Partly cloudy in Moose Jaw, minus 4. Winds are from the west-northwest at 11. Once again, Regina, cloudy and minus 4. That's 25 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director, Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. A research project is underway this fall to assess the efficiency of a nitrogen stabilizer used in anhydrous ammonia. It has the potential to expand the timing window for fall fertilizer application without affecting crop yields. The project started this fall at the Glacier Farm Media Discovery Farm near Langham, which is also the site of Ag in Motion near Saskatoon. The nitrogen product is called Centuro. Rigor Karamanos is the senior agronomist with Koch Agronomic Services in Canada.
What Centuro does is slows down the nitrification of ammonium. So consequently, what happens is that when you slow down the nitrification, you slow down the presence of nitrate in the soil, and as a result, it will reduce the potential denitrification and potential leaching losses. It's a product that you can add to anhydrous ammonia, but also you can add it to UAN, to like in our case 2800. The project that we have here at Discovery Farm deals with opening up the fall season by applying anhydrous treated with Centuro at an earlier date than what traditionally people go out and apply. So we applied last week, but we were out 3 weeks earlier as well. And what we did, we applied anhydrous ammonia at the recommended rate. The soil testing lab gave us an 80% of the recommended rate at both times. And we're going to come back in the spring, of course, and apply the same thing, 80 and 100% of the recommended rates. And we want to see if indeed adding Centuro to anhydrous ammonia, we can prolong or open the fall season, extend the fall season. That's the whole idea of the project.
Karamanos explains the importance.
It is important because now that the farms are so much larger than what they were before, people want to do as much as possible in the fall, so when spring comes, they have to deal with seeding period, you know. And we all, well, there is enough research that shows that when you delay seeding in the spring, for whatever reason, you know, you may incur losses or reduction in the yield. So people want to get out and finish as quickly as possible. So by extending the fall season allows people to complete the anhydrous application before there is snow or before it freezes.
There will be another application next spring and comparisons made in the fall. So far, he says, results are encouraging.
It has been tested in the U.S., but to be very honest with you, my experience over the years is the local farmers want local data. So although, you know, there is actually now generated and even on the Twitter, you know, they have farmers talking about fall applications. We want to have the local data to make sure that that's something which is applicable to Western Canada.
Caramano says the Discovery Farm is a good place to do the testing.
Very few, if any, research organizations that have the capability of applying anhydrous ammonia. You have to look at large-scale application. When it comes to experimental equipment there, you can count them in one hand, not even that, you know, two fingers. So this was an excellent opportunity because Discovery Farm does have the equipment. And now with having the opportunity, when the legislation changes and we are allowed to inject those supplements into the anhydrous ammonia tank rather than using a sidekick, that was a perfect fit for us. And that's why we were thrilled to be able to have the trial here at the Discovery Farm. They do have the equipment.
The regulation just changed a few months ago.
We have tried in the past with sidekick, you know, but the last two falls, unfortunately, the weather was such that we were not able to establish fall application. This was a perfect.
Rigos Karamanos is the senior agronomist with Koch Agronomic Services in Canada. A nitrogen stabilizer is being tested this fall at the Ag in Motion site near Langham to see if the product can expand the timing window for fall fertilizer application without affecting crop yields.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. There is strong world demand for Saskatchewan crops this fall. ProMarket Communications President Errol Anderson says demand is at its highest level in a decade.
We're witnessing the biggest global grain demand that we have seen for probably 10 years, at least until 2012, when the peak of China's buying peaked out at that part of the cycle. And what we're really seeing is a demand-driven market, which is shown to be quite strong. This has got real demand behind it. Brazil, for instance, is simply running out of corn and soybeans for exports. So China has cleaned Brazil out, and it's and as well. They have seen some weather difficulties in China, typhoons that have hurt the quality. And it's really magnified the demand for corn and soybeans, and it's rippled right into this canola market. And then add to that, the Black Sea region has been reasonably dry, and that's created the wheat market to shoot higher domestically. So Russian wheat prices have moved sharply higher. And this has really influenced the North American market. So we've got a perfect storm, and we don't believe that we've necessarily seen the top of these markets. We could be strong right into the new year.
Anderson says it's great news for farmers.
Oh, you know, it's just, this is just a terrific atmosphere for the Canadian grower because canola market, for instance, you know, it's moving into that $12 range. Some bids for deferred delivery now have pushed above $12 per bushel. Is it possible to go to $13 per bushel? Well, it is possible. You know, as long as these soybeans stay quite firm, the wheat market is quite remarkable too. The strongest bids we're seeing right now is actually CPS Red, so a lower quality wheat. We have seen bids in southern Alberta move, you know, into that 740, 750 per bushel for deferred movement in the new year. That is just an excellent return. The yellow pea market is also firming up. We're seeing these bids move up above $8 per bushel. The greens now have moved up above $9. So there's almost like a tidal wave of demand. And the big one that's really humming right now is actually barley. There's a demand for and a battle between the export market and the domestic feedlot market for barley. So that has really ratcheted those feedlot bids higher. In Lethbridge for March delivery, barley is as high as 276 a metric ton, and that's $6 per bushel delivered in.
Errol Anderson is the president of ProMarket Communications.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Scott Bjornson of Hall's Wealth. For more information or to book a free consultation, call 1-800-284-9999. And brought to you by Nelson GM, Assiniboia, and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. Grain prices at Viterra were moving up in early trading this morning. Canola gained 90 cents at $4.9637. Number one red spring wheat increased $1.82 at $2.4356. The rest were unchanged. Durham, $2.7925. Feed barley, $2.1970. Flax, $6.3791. Lentils, $6.0750. Oats, $1.9053. Yellow peas, $2.9739. And feed wheat, $1.8372. Minneapolis spring wheat December futures rose 2.25 cents at $5.76.75 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn, 842-4574. And now, the latest livestock quotes.
This is Grant Barnett with the Market Report. Heartland Livestock here in Moose Jaw. 3,600 Charlays at our extravaganza on Tuesday. Another 1,800 calves plus 400 cows on Thursday. And another full load here, reds and blacks, on Tuesday, October 27th. That's close to 10,000 here in Moose Jaw from Tuesday till next Tuesday. 26 triloads come here this week from south of that 13 highway. These top-end Charley cows, they continue to sell for a premium right here in Moose Jaw. But this cow market, it's kind of sad out there right now. 65 to 74, that gets the good ones. I think that they got to be worth more money here in the new year. Here's what happened on Tuesday at that extravaganza. 63 tan steers, 482 at 245 and a quarter. Triload of tan steers, 537 at 232 and a quarter. Another triload of steers, 591 at 219.75. 85 tan steers, 708 at 203. On Thursday, Clayton Lead had a pretty good set of top-end black calves coming out of the Bengoff country, 590. They bring 204 and a quarter. These heifers are a tougher sell this year. 550 to plus weight heifers from 165 to 178, sales to 184. 450 to 550 from 168 to 184 also. But these plainer, slick, horned or fleshy cattle are being heavily discounted this fall. This has been Grant Barnett reporting. Let's have one great afternoon.
Now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
Ham sold 7,900 hogs Thursday, selling a range of 182 to 212 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 4,800 head, selling a range of 182 to 212 per CKG. 100 index hog prices for the week ending Saturday, October 24th are Ole West 2020 contract, 184.90. Ole West 2021 contract, 207 even. Maple Leaf Sig 4, 182.69. Hams Cash, 180.69. Thunder Creek Burke Co., 182.09. High Life Cash, 194.20. And High Life Contract, $212.80 per CKG. Hams number one sows this week are selling the range of 22 to 27 cents per pound live weight. Hams cash hog price today is mixed and forward contract prices opened lower this morning. On Thursday, the Canadian dollar was down 12 basis points with the daily exchange rate at 1.3142. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 76.10 cents U.S. Weekly base prices in U.S. dollars per hundredweight for week ending October 24th are mixed, with the Western Corn Belt down for the third consecutive week in a row, while the upward trajectory for the national region is incrementally slowing down over the same time period. National cutout adjusted and USDA cutout formula are slightly higher than a week ago due to the strength in the value of the carcass, which is presently at the second highest value since the new report was developed in 2013. Only 2014 was higher. Lean hog futures moved sharply lower yesterday, with the nearby December contract closing at the daily limit low. The market moved sharply lower after a relatively poor export sales report, revealing some disappointing new commitments from China. With China off the previous week's holiday, there was some expectation that higher volumes would be realized, but that was simply not the case.
Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Olympic Buildings. See them for ag buildings, riding arenas, hay barns, and more. Build with confidence. Olympic-buildings.ca. Alberta says it will end its oil curtailment program in December because production is already down due to the pandemic. The previous NDP government introduced the program nearly 2 years ago to support plunging Canadian oil prices by aligning surging output with static pipeline capacity. But the current United Conservative government says curtailments are no longer needed because 16% of Alberta's crude oil production is currently offline. It adds production is not expected to exceed export capacity before the middle of next year. European lawmakers say plant-based products that do not contain meat can continue to be labeled sausages or burgers. The EU Parliament has rejected proposals backed by meat industry lobbyists that could have led to a ban on the terms on products sold in restaurants and shops. Europe's largest farmers association had argued that labeling vegetarian substitutes with words that bring meat to mind was misleading consumers. But the European Consumer Organization denies there is any confusion and is praising Parliament for its common sense. On the markets, Canada's main stock index edged higher in late morning trading, helped by gains in the financial sector, while U.S. stock markets were mixed. The TSX Composite Index was up 3 points at 16,282. In New York, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 4 points at 28,359. The Canadian dollar traded at 76.08 cents U.S., compared with 76.09 cents on Thursday. The December crude oil contract was down 18 cents at $40.46 per barrel. That's the Resource Report. Stay tuned for the closing grain prices at 1:45 this afternoon and an Agri-News report at 3:45 p.m. Monday morning, there's another Agri-News report at 6:45 a.m. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon and good...
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag. 620 CKRM.